it with the earth, and he made mud, and applied it to the eyes of this blind person. Emmanuel, my brother, the oldest, he was the oldest. He's the only one that died so far. And they will tell you that we didn't know the pronunciation Muhammad. We didn't know that pronunciation. We called ourselves Muck Mud. Muck Mud. But we spelled it Muhammad and called it Muck Mud. You know, you might say, well, Haider, look, if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told you to spell your name some other, you would do it.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't question them. They were so huge and so dynamic and so mysterious in some ways. We didn't, and we believe that help came to us through them or in them from God. So we didn't question them. We sure wouldn't believe the white man. The white man read M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D, Muhammad, and they said read it Muhammad. We sure ain't gonna listen to the white man, that's for sure. So I remember calling my name. People said, what's your name? I said, Wallace Muhammad. It was comfortable for me then, back then, because it's all I knew. But now it's not. It's terribly uncomfortable for me to call myself Wallace Muhammad, or even to tell you that I was called Wallace Muhammad, or that I said my name was Wallace Muhammad. It's very uncomfortable for me. But then it was natural. We accepted it and believed it, and we didn't question it. Now, if we were told that Muhammad, for us, that name for us is Muhammad, what is that skillful strategist saying to us? He's saying to us that your leader, and from him shall come the muck and mud that's going to be made a man again. God made his man from mud. That's what he's saying. So the mud is symbolic of putting that you don't understand before your eyes, or covering your eyes, your sight, with that you don't understand. But you trust the person that's doing that, so you accept it with pleasure. You just give yourself willingly to that person. And that person puts on your mind's eye, that prevents you from seeing beyond that. You can't see through that, like mud covering your eyes. You can't see through that. So what is he really doing? Why did he do that? To keep you from looking at anymore the world outside. To keep you from being attracted to the world outside, or by the world outside. So that you get your mind off of the world outside and you focus on nothing but what he is telling you and communicating to you. So that's, and he's doing that to block your mind from escaping by putting things on your mind that you cannot completely understand. You can't see through it. And I can give you many of them. I don't have to do that. You know it. You know it, right? You know much of it yourself that he gave us that you can't see through. You can't solve those problems. The Christian world came out of the pagan world. They were worshippers of idols before Christianity. Romans, Greeks, all of them were worshipping, even Egypt. They were idol worshippers before Christianity came. So Christianity came and put mud on their mind's eye. You hear what I'm saying? Put mud on their mind's eye to shield them, to shield their mind against language, communication, etc., of their old world, so that the old world would not be on their minds anymore, and the old world would not be feeding their minds anymore. So it was given to them as a shield and a protection to protect their minds from the old world of idolatry, paganism, and heathenism, whatever, that they came from. So it wouldn't influence them directly anymore in their minds. Long enough for them to study a new language for a new world and come by that way into a new world and a greater world. So see how this scheme that Mr. Farad used on us were used to get even the whole world of the European people into Christianity? Obviously, that was a man with great knowledge, Mr. Farad. Christians, before Christianity, were separated from their natural, inherent, original family tree, just as we were. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, be peace upon him, as they have it, save them from that bad life they were in, and protected them from it, and left them with information to feed their life that for the new world life. Feed them so they have grow into the new life that have the new world. Minister Farquhar, again, I agree with you when you said that the teachings of the Nation of Islam, the teachings that that Savior gave to us, was a prescription. I agree with you. And he means a prescription from a doctor, or like a prescription from a doctor, a prescription given to take care of certain ills, defects. And Minister Farquhar said on the day of Savior's Day in Los Angeles, 13th of this month, I was with him, I was his guest. He said, but if you continue to take the prescription after being healed, it becomes a poison then rather than a healing medicine. But also, it was more than just a prescription. It was also a methodology. He gave us a methodology that works even before we discover it. It's working on us before we discover that he left language that influenced certain behavior in us and influenced certain directions in our life, and does it without us being conscious of it. He was directing us to the Quran without us being conscious of it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad preached the Bible, not the Quran. And he said, he used this reason, he said, we died in the Bible, we have to be resurrected in the Bible. That was his reason for using the Bible. But I know the main reason was the same reason that Morris people had. They were before Mr. Farad too, the Morris Science Temple, the Morris Americans. And the same reason why they use the Bible, the reason why we use the Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used the Bible. And his teacher told him, said, go to the churches and see how the preachers get the people. He said, what means and methods must be used? So here's a man not depending only on what he did and what he left, but he's trying to qualify the people he's trying to change. He's trying to qualify them to be helpers. And he calls us helpers in the lesson. And everybody had to get, before even becoming a registered member, you had to get what is called a student enrollment. And you had to learn it before you were accepted as a registered member. Everybody. I was born to my father, who was already in it. But as a student of the University of Islam, the elementary school level, I also had to learn those lessons. And my mother taught them to me before I went to school, so it was nothing. I just breezed right through them. So I had to learn. The son of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, born to him and my mother and to him after he had converted, 3 years, after, almost 3 years after he had converted. I had, when I was young enough to learn, I had to learn the student enrollment. Student enrollment. What does that say? That says that the one that started this, created this for us, wanted every member to be a student. Every member to be a student. He's calling you student. Well, what are you to study? You're to study what he left with you. And he says, speaking of the problem book, he says, and the reward for the neatest and best worker of this problem will be so much in gold. Gold. Now, you think he's talking about money, material gold? No. He's talking about sacred wisdom. Sacred wisdom. Your reward will be so much in sacred wisdom. You'll get a lot of knowledge in sacred wisdom, which is better than that gold you got on your mind. And he also said, and the reward will be a holy Quran Sharif. That's still in print, coming from this man that we call Savior. Will be a holy Quran Sharif. So that, he didn't say a Bible. He said a holy Quran Sharif. A family Quran, pardon me, Sharif. A family Quran Sharif. He means this is something, and he's talking about your family in your apartment, your family in your house, wherever you live, what street you live on, in this town? No. He's talking about the African-American family, the family of blacks that he's bringing out of the world to be a new people, belonging to a new world. That's the family he's talking about, that you'll get a family Quran Sharif. He's saying to you that you'll be blessed to go through the Quran, and Allah will bless you to read and understand the Quran. And you will get guidance from the Quran to establish your people. That's what family is, people. To establish your people. It'll be a Quran for your family, the African-American people. Oh, Allahu Akbar. No. Christ Jesus, according to the gospel, is also to be identified as the second Adam. The second Adam. And the gospel gives the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It traces his existence backwards, back to God. It mentions his mother and Joseph, peace be upon them, and goes back into the lineage, going backwards. And it finally says, who is the son of Adam? Jesus is traced back to the son of Adam. And he's the second Adam, I said, according to Christian theology or to Christianity. He's the second Adam, whose father was Adam. And it says, and Adam was created by God. That's what the Bible says. Not what I say, that's what the Bible says. Okay? So, this Adam then is a type for us. It's a type that includes all of us. All of us are descendants of Adam. It's the type that includes all of us. And according to the Bible and the Quran, Adam was tempted and was deceived to come out of his dress. that God had put him in. And the Quran says, and don't let the Satan, the Shaitan, deceive you, speaking to us, to come out of your dress as he did your father and your mother and his mate in the garden. And it doesn't leave us to wonder about that dress. It says, and the dress is the dress of righteousness. The dress is the dress of righteousness. And didn't the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say that his main job was to put us in a new dress? That's what he said. He said, my job is to dress you up. Put you in a new dress. The culture of a people is their dress. That's their dress. The spirit and the intellect and the heart are all supposed to work together to develop a comfortable home for us on this earth. And we live more significantly in our cultures than we do in our physical clothing or in the frame houses or brick houses or whatever we live in. Those things are important for us, but they won't change our life if we get a different form for our housing or for our clothing. It won't change us much unless we let it, as long as we stay rooted or grounded in our healthy culture. Our culture protects and feeds our life. So in a Christian world, the culture should be influenced by the spirit of the gospel. The culture should be influenced by the morals and ethics of the gospel. And in a Muslim society, the culture of Muslims should be fed by the spirit of the Quran and Muhammad, the spirit of Islam. And it should be fed by the morals and ethics of the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad and life of Muhammad the Prophet. If we have that, then we have salvation for our lives. If we don't have that, all we can have is a struggle, a sincere will in us to obey God and be the best decent human being we can be. And we have a great struggle out here, because every time you open up your eyes, open up your ears, you're hearing that hurts the spirit you want inside. So that's a painful way to live, and God doesn't want us living that way, just having a spirit to obey him and not an environment to protect and make comfortable that spirit. So Adam is that type that God created and set him to the right mold for him to keep his life and make great progress and reach the promised land through his descendants. But the serpent, the Satan, deceived him to come out of that dress that God had put him in. And unlike Christianity, unlike the Bible, in the Quran we're told that Adam met a word. He didn't stay in that bad condition. He met a word from his Lord, and he repented his behavior, and his Lord accepted him. God, Allah, accepted him. So he's not a sinner. It doesn't say he sinned either. It says Satan caused him to slip from the foundation he was on before, that God had put him on. Satan caused him to slip from that foundation, as earthquakes will shake the earth and cause the stone bed that holds the earth up, the sediment up, or the loose dirt up, the loose soil up, to slip and drop. Sometimes whole big area, maybe a town, drop right into a big hole made by the movement of the slipping of the stones out of place, and a whole city is buried beneath the earth in certain earthquakes that took place a long time ago. And some of them are still happening. What makes rain, hail, sleeps, and earthquakes. So it has another reference, doesn't it? Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, that is, he said, I'm putting you into a new dress. An African student who was a candidate for his PhD back in the early 50s. His name's Asian E.A. Udum. He wrote a book, Black Nationalism, on the Nation of Islam. And he says in his book, the Nation of Islam in America is an attempt to give blacks an identity in culture. And he mentioned certain things, and I'll mention a few of them for you in concluding this, given the last portion of this address. He mentioned change dress style for followers of Elijah Muhammad. Fruit and the MGT being put in uniforms. New songs of the Nation of Islam. I don't know if any of you all know that we had songs. We had our own songs made up by us. Made up by us after we got help to make up those songs from Mr. W.D. Farad, Mr. Farad Muhammad, W.F. Muhammad, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We had songs. We had marching songs. We had other songs. In fact, the meetings used to be open up with song. On Sunday, you had a song on Sunday. All of us would sing it. Everybody attending would be singing that song, and we were happy. I'm not going to sing it now. That time is gone. Because we were addressing things that were bad and evil and hurtful in our lives from the white world that are no more there. The world has changed. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says the white man can change and respect you, then you change and respect him. That's what he said in one of his major addresses about 2 years before he passed, before he died. So also there were changes in our food. We were given new food, a new taste for food. We had brown rice, never had it before. I'm not talking about brown rice that's grown that way. We would take the white rice and parch it and brown it in the skillet with a little oil and just brown it until it's nice and pretty. I still love it. I do it occasionally right now. And we had bean soup. And it wasn't the bean soup you found. You couldn't go to a restaurant and say, hey, give me a bowl of bean soup. It would be different. That bean soup would be different than ours. Whole wheat breads. Healthy, wasn't it? Now, this wasn't healthy. 100% cheese pies. Didn't last either. But let me tell you something. They were delicious, but you just can't eat much of it. Too heavy. Bean pies, and you know, our Christian brothers and sisters, they know about that bean pie. It's been made so popular. Some of them know about that bean pie. But added to the meal to make it different was also the selection of spices. We didn't select the same spices. None of us used any turmeric before. But in the Nation of Islam, you use turmeric. Put a little turmeric in the rice when you boil it. And another thing, so we started using oriental spices. And we were having, for the first time, a menu that the world didn't give us. Mr. Farad gave it to us, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Clara Muhammad, his wife, who learned how to cook from Mr. Farad herself. He came into her kitchen and showed her how to make those dishes we talked about. It all started right in the kitchen of Clara Muhammad. And she gave it to other sisters, and she was happy to do that. I remember sisters coming to the house and working with our mother in the kitchen to get the recipes and everything, to learn how to make those dishes. Savior's Day is an unfinished business. It's not finished for us. I'm not speaking for the world or African-American people. I'm talking about us who followed on Elijah Muhammad. Savior's Day is an unfinished business. So we have an effort we call CPC, Collective Purchasing Conference. We have an effort to produce money and wealth for us, wealth, finances, so that we'll be able to invest in the material development of our membership. Our neighborhoods that we live in are included in the material development. Going back to Adam, keep it focused. Going back to Adam, the original man. When Mr. Farad said, "You are the original man," he's talking about the man that God made in the mold and in the nature that God put him in before he was enticed by the Satan to come out of that mold of life. Mr. Farad is not talking about what we thought he was talking about. When Mr. Farad said, "Who is the original man?" Answer, the Asiatic black man. He's not telling you you're Asians. You know you're not Asian. You're not Chinese. You're not Japanese. You're not those people. He had already established what Asiatic means in his communication to us. He said, and the whole earth was once called Asia. That's what he said. Now, this ain't nothing new for people who are trying to give a myth to a people, to give them a sense of beginning for a new history, for a new of a new life. So he's trying to give us a new life, and he's giving us a beginning point for our history. So he tells us many things. That this happened in the beginning. It's myth. And don't think the Romans had it any different. Don't think other people had it any different. All people's sense of their beginning as a civilized community begins in myth. Begins in a myth. And the myth, when translated, it reveals great knowledge and great truth. And you can see the reality of it. You match it with its reality, and it gives you a higher sight, a higher knowledge, and a deeper insight into your life and where you should go with it. So don't underestimate the power of myth to project people and motivate them to go forward with their intelligent life for community life on this earth. So when you study Adam in the Bible, though Adam was deceived out of his righteousness, deceived out of his culture that God created him for, culture should develop naturally upon excellent human nature. That's how culture is supposed to develop. But the Satan, the devil, he creates the culture for us and imposes a culture of violence, a culture of death, a culture of drugs, etc., on us. And that culture works against the original excellence of human nature and retards that. And pretty soon you have the self-destructive boys and girls like we have in our streets and in our homes, and crazy, irresponsible mothers and fathers like we have in our towns. So Adam, though he was deceived by the serpent of the Satan, the Shaitan, the devil, from his loins, his descendants came. And they weren't holy, they weren't protected anymore. But they had a choice to make. They were free. God made Adam to be free to make choices, and God made him to have descendants, children, who would be free to make free choices. So they didn't have to stay in a bad shape. They were able to make free choices, choose the best, and follow the best, as Allah tells us, and take the best thereof. Always go after the best. If it's the Quran, go after the best. Because if you ain't right in your heart and you want some wrong, Allah will blind you when you go into the Quran. And you will think you got something to help you do wrong. And you will be doing wrong thinking you're getting help from what you read in the Quran. That's the punishment of God on you for having bad intentions. And it is guidance only for the muttaqin, for those who reverence God and that He established to be respected. This is Savior's Day. And I don't know about you, but I'm having a wonderful time. Praise be to Allah. So the descendants of Adam became the industrial people. Not others. What others were there? God made him. There were no other people. Well, the Bible says that the sons of Adam met the people of Nod, city of Nod. And who were they? Who were the people of Nod? Nod, you know Nod in here. That's Nod. They met the people of Nod and intermarried. They intermarried. That's what the Bible says. So please, have faith. Have faith. Don't treat me like the people of Moses treated Moses. If he didn't say what they heard in Egypt, they didn't want to listen to him. But Egypt oppressed them. Isn't that ridiculous? And some of you, if I don't say what you believe from the world, you don't want to believe it. You doubt it. Because you didn't get it. You know what you have done when you take a position like that? You have doomed your own self to not get any further than you are. If what you got could help you, I wouldn't have to be here. Think about it. But you're going to hold on to what you got if I don't say something that agrees with what you got. That's pitiful. Yes. So Adam's descendants became the, Genesis tells you this, they became the industrial people, workers in iron and other metals and builders. They became very industrious people. And industry grew and grew. And their environment that they created, just like environment man has created for us now, it can help you, but it also can set you back. The environment that they created caused them to give all their attention to material development, to the point that materialism poisoned their souls. And they became so deformed by their own world that they created that God punished them with a great flood. And the flood took all but a few, Noah and his children. This is the Bible. And from Noah came a new development, a new trend, a new world order after Noah. It was the order of the spiritual that followed behind the order of industry. Great wisdom in all of this, and I wish I had more time with you. Well, another day maybe. Or maybe I'm finding time to do things at home now, so maybe I'll write some books at home and make them available to you all. Allahu Akbar. I need to do it too, because it burdened my mind that we have this and not giving it to enough people, enough persons. us, but also other people can benefit greatly by what I'm saying to you right now. And they will recognize it maybe when you want. As Prophet Muhammad said when he made his last sermon, peace be on him, he said, and he addressed issues of the day, that you have to treat females right. You have to give them equal opportunity for education, etc. Now, we were addressing that issue right here with his land, didn't say where it's coming from, wouldn't we be on time? Yes. And he said to treat your servant like you treat your own child. Feed your servant with the food that you eat. And dress your servant with the clothes that you yourself wear. So he was talking on things that we could talk right today. And if we didn't use his name or didn't connect Islam, the people would cheer us, Christians. Yeah, they would cheer us. And he spoke out against nationalism, narrow, fanatical nationalism. He said there's no superiority of a non-Arab over an Arab, and there's no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab. He also addressed racism, color-based racism. He said there is no superiority of a white over a black, and no superiority over a black over white. That's what he said. Now, who would think that one day blacks would be in a position to be told they are not superior to whites? It wasn't back there in his time. Maybe in a couple thousand years before him, in Africa, because one time there was a great civilization called Kush. It's in the Bible, too. And they were the leading nation or the leading people on the face of this earth. They were blacks from Africa. They gave medicine and higher knowledge and sciences to the world at that time. And Allah doesn't leave us without mentioning that to us. He says, and God is the one who revolves the blessings to the nations. And again, he says, he tried people to see how will they do if they were put into power. And then behind him, he replaced them with another people and try another people. That's the way of God. So we know that when God gives us the story of Adam in the Quran and in the Bible, God is giving us the story of our own life, human life, and its capacity and potential for building life, not only for itself and its people, but for building life for the whole human world. Cultural life, industrial life, all of it